Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
All right, if you have your Bibles, let's continue our teaching. We have been reading from this portion for a while, and we'll continue that this session also. And that's the book of Romans chapter 12. It said, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's one word I want to highlight there again. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. It said, for through the grace given to me, that's verse 3, I say to every man not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. He said, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, we are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. Then he listed the different kinds of gifts. He said, there's prophecy, there's service, there's teaching, there's exhortation, there is the ministry called giving, and there is leading, and there is the one that shows mercy. Whatever be your gift, whatever be your calling, he said, let each exercise them accordingly, according to the grace that he has in proportion to the measure of faith that has been given to him at that particular point in time. Now, let's continue from there. So I said something about this, that this is definitely not an exhaustive list. If you read different portions of the scriptures, you will see that this is not an exhaustive list. For example, here, it did not talk about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It did not talk about gifts of healings, tongues, and all of those things which are listed in other parts of the book of his letters to the Corinthians. So he was just giving us what life is about. The emphasis here is the diversity. Again, I'll review for a minute. We have been talking about the fruits of your life. Luke chapter 13, we read the parable of Jesus. Your life must have fruit because the food you are eating, it's consuming the ground, the Bible says. The air you are breathing is what he calls consuming the ground. And all the resources that the Lord has supplied you, you are using up nutrients. That's what he was saying. And therefore, you must have fruit to show for it. We say fruit is in two regards. There is a moral fruit that must come out of the improvement or must be shown by the improvement of your personality and your character, as a sign of the fact that you're a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we said, in the assignments that God has given us, we must also bear fruit. So the question we began to answer a few sessions ago is, where is my own assignment? So people ask that question a lot. As Christians, we say, what is my calling? What is my ministry? We have emphasized that ministry is not only church. It's not only the preaching of the word of God. It's not as if after God has blessed you all these years as a businessman, as a banker, as an investor, you now feel like, I have not done anything for God. The investment should be as unto the Lord. The banking should be as unto the Lord. You don't retire from banking and ask, let me now enter into ministry. I see that joke around every day. People have labored in a particular area all their lives, and as old people, they now start ministry. Are you getting my point? It's a lot of joke. It's very common in society. The man now must preach because he must do something, because he thinks that that's what God, when he gets to heaven, God will record that as the only work he did for him. If you're an employer of labor, that is a ministry. You employed 10,000 people in your big company, that is a ministry. You are a pastor to 10,000 member congregation. You must understand that. You don't have to leave that and go to a church. There are those that God called to be pastors. There are those he called apostles, evangelists. There are those he calls teachers. They are there. But you don't have to be one to be serving God. You can serve God from any area where God called you into. So how do we identify it? I said that, listen, you don't have to specifically know necessarily. If you do, it's fine, all right? In fact, eventually you will find out what your gift is. A man that asks people to read after a lot of times is Demos Shakarian. Demos Shakarian was a man who founded Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International. It's a beautiful book, the biography, the story of the Full Gospel, titled The Happiest People on Earth. It's a beautiful book. I always recommend it, that people should read it. And in that book, he explained how he found his own calling. What he did was just to try and preach. the Holy Spirit was ministering to him to go and preach. But after a while, he realized that he was not actually supposed to preach. He was supposed to organize preaching meetings. And he found himself in what he discovered, that his gift is listening to the scriptures as a ministry of helps. So he's a helper. That's what he called himself. Please, I encourage everybody to read that book. It's a book that really bless you. Now, so there are different areas as you walk in life, you will discover your area. And the emphasis we have laid so far is that of faithfulness. First of all, I said, life is in phases. David was a shepherd at a particular point in time. It does not mean he will be a shepherd forever. Are you getting my point? Though he was called as one that leads, all right, as a king in Israel. But first of all, his father threw him amongst the sheep, and he had to show faithfulness. Let me say this. I don't know what I said before. And that's the fact that your faithfulness in this particular phase that you are in determines how you will be placed in the next phase that you are going to, or also determines how long you will stay in this particular phase. If you are not faithful here, it's like school. You are in primary 5, you keep failing, they will not move you to primary 6. If you are in first year university, there's a number of courses you must pass for them to move you to the next level. You must pass them, and that's the way it is. You must be faithful in this season that God has placed you into. And I said that life has different seasons. Let's not forget it. A student is a student as unto the Lord. Now, there's something I just emphasized, which I began to say earlier on, still talking about how to identify your gifts. The Bible says, let's quickly read that, Psalm 139. It's one thing I read quite a lot. David was teaching a principle here. Let me just rush it. From verse 13, he said, thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. He said, my frame was not hidden from thee, that's verse 15, when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. The scripture I like to bring out from here is where he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. Yeah, verse 13 says, for thou didst form my inward parts. Now, please, notice that. Now, you remember we were saying that God created us to establish righteousness or to define his character in different areas of life. And I want to remind us again that because he did that, all right, he formed us to be able to fulfill the function that he set us, all right, to go and perform. He did not make you a preacher so that you can go and learn how to preach. He put the preach inside you. I don't know whether you hear what I said. It's there, it's there. That's what he meant when he said, thou didst form my inward parts. We're talking about how to identify your area. We have explained that life is in phases, and there are phases in which people will tell you what to do. David's father told him to be a shepherd, and he was a shepherd. Now, let me just say it. It's not everybody that will have the opportunity of making the choices of career. A lot of people just find themselves in the career that God just pushes them into. From the scriptures, we see people like David, and we see people like Joseph. They didn't just wake up and say, I want to be a ruler. It was thrust upon them. In fact, I think I can say this, that don't make ruling your dream in life. Do you follow my point? You know, like you say, my dream is I must be a president. Listen, you can't dream that dream and make it come to pass by force. If you have an idea in your mind that one day you are going to be president, just become a good president of whatever you are doing right now. That's the way it is, all right? Don't scheme for high office. God will not bless schemers. God doesn't bless ambition and somebody just wants to become something great in life by force. No, these things are thrust upon people. If you read your scriptures, you'll see nobody fighting for it got it and was blessed by it. Are you getting my point? No, usually it will be thrust upon you. You will find that God will set events in motion that will put you in that particular place. But you cooperate with him earlier. If you are dreaming of being a king, you can be a king immediately. Are you getting my point? Like now, if you say, hey, Pastor Banky, I want to be a king. It's simple. I go home, I crown myself king. I'm a king over my wife and my children instantly. Do you understand my point? Yes, I don't need anybody, you know, to agree. I automatically, if I enter into my classroom, I'm a king in there. And I can prove it to you. I enter the class, I tell the students what to do and what not to do, when to get up and when to sit down, when to be quiet and when to talk, when to write and when to... Is that not to be a king? So if I really plan to be a king, I must be effective as a king in my classroom as a teacher. Are you getting my point? Nobody should try, you know, strive to attain high office. What you do is whatever it is you are doing now, do it well. In due season, God will lift you to a high office. Very, very important. That's just by the way. Now, but a lot of times we have to make choices in careers. A lot of times we have to decide, okay, what do I really want to do with my life? And that's why people ask that question. And I've been trying to answer it for some time, but I've not been able to sit on that. I've been able to settle on the matter of faithfulness and the matter of recognizing that life is in seasons. And whatever you season you are in right now, do the best that you can, even though you feel like what is you have been called to do then is not your calling, it's not your ministry. But when you get to a point in which you need to make a decision, these are the things that will guide you. Now, number one amongst them is that I want to bring out is this issue that we just read from this Psalm 139. David says simply that God created my inward parts to do something. Thou didst form my inward parts. The way I like to explain it all the time is this. An air conditioner has a compressor, he has an evaporator, he has fan, he has all of those things because it's meant to cool. That's the inward part that whoever is making it has formed inside it. It could be Sanyo National, Higher Thermocool, you know, whoever is making it, they made something inside it so that it can fulfill its function. The only time the air conditioner will not know why it was made is when it is not connected to power. So that's a baseline thing. In all these things we are saying, we must be connected to the eternal life that is found only in Christ Jesus. I don't think we need to repeat that, but it's very important for us to bear it in mind. We talked about that some time ago. Every time you must be connected to the eternal life that is found in Christ Jesus. Now, having established that, you find out that God made something, made you to do something, and that is the reason why certain things are easier for you. We said, reading from that Romans chapter 12, that Paul said it like this. He said, each person has a measure of faith. And that's what I'm saying. That is because of what is inside him, there are things he or she does confidently. And that's the area actually where God called that person to function in. Let me just say this quickly. A calling is a specific application of your gift. Your gift is that which you are able to do. Are you getting my point? Your gift is that which God created you to be. For example, teaching is a gift. So say somebody has a gift, is a teacher, or he has been given as a teacher to the body of Christ. But what is he supposed to teach? Who is he supposed to teach? Where is he supposed to teach? It's what his calling is. Do you understand that point? All right, very important. All right, so we all have it. Now, in the area of your gift, all right, we use the word gift and calling together. In the area of your gift, you have divine grace. That is, you have God's power supplying ability to you without you having to struggle like everybody else will struggle. And that's one thing we must bear in mind. There's something that one man said once. I can't remember who said it exactly. He said, there is a place where you are the best. That what are you doing where you are average? And I want everybody to bear that in their mind. If you discover that you are extremely good in a particular thing, think about it. It might just be that that is what God has given to you as a gift. Why am I talking about that? You will see Paul said here, in that verse 6 of Romans, using my version, New American Standard, he says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace. What he was saying is that the way by which we discover our gifts, what we are, what God made us to be, is by the kind of grace that is given to us. What is grace? Grace is that ability to do something easily. Do you follow my point? Listen, if in your church, your pastor is trying to encourage you to become a preacher, therefore he's always pushing you to the pulpit, and you find that anytime they give you a Bible, you will struggle and struggle and struggle. You'll struggle and struggle. Anytime you're thinking about preaching, the thing is that you are afraid. When Sunday is coming, they've made you a branch pastor now. You are afraid when it's time to be called up to preach. Start suspecting that you do not have that grace. Even though you have the calling in the future, the time is not yet now. Because we said before, seasons change, all right? So I'm not saying you will never preach. But for now, God is saying to you, go and sit down. Don't preach anything. Go and listen. It's your season of listening. Do you understand my point? It is not your season of preaching yet. You follow what I'm saying? You now say, what if somebody has to try, somebody has to exercise his gift. That is true. Remember we said each person has a measure of faith. If your faith can carry sharing the word of God with your friends in the hostel or in your house, just two or three people, then exercise it there. Don't come in front of a congregation of 500 people and start wetting your trousers. It will not be very nice. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? You know, people say, go, be bold. Listen. Be bold only where boldness has been given to you. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? Yes, you know, you don't just wake up now, give me an aeroplane. You say, Pastor Banky, be bold, you can fly it. Thank you very much. I'm sure if I told you, in my boldness, I want to fly you to Lagos. You won't board the flight. Do you follow my point? You that's encouraging me to be bold. You will not board the flight. You will come and say, Pastor, just be bold. Crash on your own. Be bold as you are crashing. You follow what the point I'm making? So if you want to be bold, listen. He said there is a measure of faith. That's what you can do confidently. You can share the word of God with your friends at home. Do that. Start from that. And from there, you will build up. That's why I talked about exercising the gift accordingly. Now, please, let me not lose track of what I'm trying to explain. So if you don't find the grace in you at all, please, don't deceive yourself. You are not called there. Don't even try yet. They say preach all the time. You can't preach. Then it is a season for sitting down to learn. Do you follow? All right. The reason is because God gives grace, all right, for the place he called you to. And you discover the gift that you have because of the ease with which you do certain things. How you arrive at that point, we've already talked about it. There are different ways. One of those major ways is that situations will just put you somewhere and you have to respond. And you now discover that you have that particular grace. Like I said earlier, what I want to emphasize today is the issue of exercising it. If you discover that grace, do you follow? You discover that grace, you discover that you have a gift because of the grace that is flowing, that it is time to exercise it. The reason is because if indeed God gave it to you, then one day he will hold you accountable. That's what I'm trying to get to. One day he will hold you accountable. So if you say, what area is mine? Hey, I've answered it now. There's a time somebody puts something in your hands, be faithful. But when you have to make a choice, start watching out. Where is it that I have the grace? If you have, listen, if you haven't discovered it, no trouble. Keep praying and keep being faithful in what you have now. But if you think you have discovered it, your next responsibility is to exercise it. The reason is because if the grace is there, one day you will be held accountable. Hey, you heard what I said. This is what I say to people. You therefore cannot, listen, you cannot build your life in such a manner that your grace is to be used only in your spare time. Should I say that again? Let me emphasize it. Life has seasons. Life has stages. It is possible that in the early stages, like I was saying, giving an example earlier, somebody who feels like he's supposed to preach but doesn't have the boldness, so you're only preaching to a few people at home. Fine. For now, preach to a few people at home in the evenings. Very nice. But if indeed you are persuaded that is where your grace is, ultimately, you know that has to be the major thing you do with your time. It's part of the way by which, or part of the ways by which you preserve your life, because your fruit is being counted on a year-to-year basis. Remember that Luke chapter 13 that we read? He came in the third year and said, for 3 years he's been, you know, using up ground. He said, please come back next year. We'll put more into it. Then they give it one more year. That is, the amount of fruit, all right, expected year by year increases. What I'm saying is that God counts the seasons. He counts the length of time he has given you to produce the fruit that we are talking about. Therefore, it is our assignment, reading the American Standard here in that chapter 6, it said, let each exercise them accordingly. Two things I'm saying today. One, you will discover your gift by the kind of grace that you have. That's it. That's where it starts from. And if you haven't discovered it, don't worry. Remember what was said in previous times, the matter of what? Faithfulness. But if you have, then you start engineering yourself so as to exercise that gift. You know, I was thinking about it, and if you read that, my book, which I recommend all the time, in fact, a lot of the teachings, all these teachings I'm giving in this series will be found in the book, How to Work for God. And I explain that in there. Many of these things I'm saying, they are inside the book. Now, in it, I explain a principle that one of the reasons why people can't discover their gifts, and this is the power of Christianity, the ability to pray. I will say that in a moment. One of the reasons why people say they have not discovered their gift, I said it last time, is that they often, their eyes are covered by what the Bible calls the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. Now, what do I mean by that? I said something the other day that you find a man, a woman may have a gift or a calling that's currently not glorious. You get my point? It's not something everybody is rushing for. So he's afraid that it might not make him money. For that reason, he neglects it. Listen, that will not be enough excuse on that judgment day, which will come one day. in which you must be held, you will be held accountable for the gifts that God gave to you. Now, what am I saying? A lot of times, that's why we don't understand our gifts. Now, talking about the power of Christianity, that is the power of Christianity, the ability to pray. Sometimes I tell my wife, I said, listen, people who don't know God, how do they survive? Are you getting my point? Because I have found out, if anything troubles me, if you say tomorrow, you are going to see maybe the president, and I've never come close to the president before, and I don't know what I'm going to say. You know, for me these days, it doesn't worry me anymore. I just kneel down this night. It's not 1 hour prayer. It's 5 minutes prayer. Say, Lord, you know I'm going to see the president tomorrow. So give me wisdom. Give me understanding. I'm supposed to talk to him about this, this, and that. And I will go and sleep. Trust me when I say I will go and sleep. Because I just relax and say, Lord, what am I going to say? Do you follow? Now, that's how I deal with matters in life. So occasionally I tell my wife, I say, wait, those who can't, do you follow? How would they manage that you can't pray like this? Maybe if somebody tells that, in 5 years' time, to pay children's school fees is going to cost 1 million naira per child. One drop of sweat doesn't come out of my body over it. Whether I have the money or not, no. You know what? Once you finish telling me all the bad news, before I sleep, you know what I do? I lie down and I pray about it. Not 1 hour prayer, 5 minutes again. On the matter, listen, God, they said in 5 years' time, there will be each of these children will cost me 1 million naira per term to pay their fees. So you got to get that ready, right? I know you will. So we'll see in 5 years' time on that matter. And I go to sleep. Now, that applies in every aspect of life. I'm talking about it now when it comes to the matter of our gifts and our callings. Listen, if you don't understand what you are supposed to do with your life, you know what you do? You simply pray about it. If something is your mind, like it's like a fear. You know, I was talking about that. Would this thing bring money? What if I put my whole life on it? How will I eat? You simply pray about it. Once you've prayed about it, I don't know how God is going to solve it, but he will solve that matter. But whatever it is, if you discover your grace, please engineer your life so that that thing comes into the center of your activities. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Once I went somewhere to preach, a young woman described for me her gift, the grace she had. She's very skilled with her hands. And for her, she turns out a lot of artwork. So she does artwork. She was leaving school, and she was asking me something, which is part of the thing I want to explain, this issue of exercising them. She said to me that, okay, what do I do? How do I progress? Whatever it is. Anyway, let me summarize everything I said to her. I said to her, you are leaving school. Any job you take that doesn't let you do this one, is not the will of God. That is the summary. No matter how high paying it is, do you follow my point? Put this one there as the center of your activities so that whatever job you are going to take, this one must have time. And not just have time, but enough time. Do you understand the point I'm making? For example, the young man I said earlier, if you pray to 6 people in your house, that doesn't need all the time. Do you follow? The few hours you give it in a day will be enough time. But as it starts increasing, you must make more time for it. The reason is simple. Paul said, let each exercise them accordingly. That is one. And secondly, one day you are going to be held accountable. Are you getting my point? Listen, one day you will be held accountable for what you did with that grace that God gave to you, with the gift that he gave to you. One of the reasons, you know, I mentioned one earlier, that the case of the world and all of that, why people don't know their gifts, because the Bible says that God made men upright, but they sought out many devices. Another of the reasons why people don't know their gifts is because they neglected it years ago. So it has undergone what is called atrophy. You know, the thing is now shrunken as to become imperceptible. Are you getting my point? So the man doesn't know he has it. The woman doesn't know she has it. And let me quickly say something. Something just came to my mind and I should utter it. All right? Life has seasons. If you're a young woman, be very careful. Because that season appears to be when the grace in your life is at its hottest. Let me put it like that. That is when it is easiest to sense, easiest to detect. You know, many years ago, the Lord did me a favor. By faith, I knew it was a favor. But by feeling, I didn't feel it was. Do you understand? I needed to work. I just finished my NYC. And for months, I could not find a job in Lagos, and I'm a medical doctor. Can you believe that? This was years ago. Now, I'm going somewhere. When I made my choice of postgraduate studies, I put my ministry in my mind. But if I haven't got into that, all right, for a long time I tried to get something to do, I didn't. But something happened. That was a season in which God was pumping me full of his word. I'm going somewhere, all right? I studied the word of God extensively. I've told the story a lot of times. I studied the word of God extensively. And when I began to walk again, the Lord did in such a manner that I had my evenings free and I continued to study. And then I didn't do much preaching, but I continued studying. I continued learning. Now, I'm going somewhere. Years after, you know, as you begin to grow older, of course, I got married along the way. I started working. The ministry started. You know, stuff like that kept on going on. Children started coming here and there. Oh, God. I now realize how busy a man can get. That's where I'm going. Suddenly, I realized how busy that a man can get. That the amount, a lot of books I have published today, I wrote in those seasons when I wasn't preaching to anybody. I wasn't doing much. Nobody was inviting me to come and preach. I didn't have a ministry that I was running. I wasn't on radio, you know, stuff like that. But I just had to preach. So what I used to do was to write. Do you understand? And a lot of books I have published now, that was the season they were written. You are following what I'm saying? I'm saying this because people must understand, as a young man, don't let life throw you into that same rush that everybody is in. By the time I'm 35, I must have built a house. You don't need a house at the age of 35 if you have a roof. Are you getting my point? Once you have a place you are staying, don't let life beat you into those areas so that the season in which it is easiest to detect your gift, you are busy pursuing the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the loss of other things. I was telling my story because, you know, I look back and I say, my Father in heaven, if I had been occupied then the way I'm occupied now, and I even think that a lot of things I'm doing now is according to the will of God, and whichever one is not, I keep on every day trying to remove them, how would I have known the direction to take? Do you follow the point I'm making? There's something that Paul said here, talking about knowing the will of God. He said, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm saying something. When we are conformed to the world, all right? You know, a lot of times people go and pray and they say, God, talk to me. God, talk to me. God says, I ain't talking to you. I can't talk to you. Whatever I say to you, self, if I had to talk, I'm putting words into what God is saying now. Even if I said something, it only becomes sin to you because you will not be able to obey it. It now becomes the sin of disobedience. So let's leave your sin now as a sin of ignorance. That's good enough. You're putting what I'm going to explain. Because no matter how much you harass him, if your mindset is worldly, I must achieve. Let me tell you something. One of my major jobs is to help Christians, all right, rearrange their mindsets so that it's not worldly. You know, the other day I was studying, and I discovered that Daniel, when he was investigated or when he was checked, he was found out to be exceedingly good. No troubles with him. Very honest. No corruption, nothing. But what I want to get across is what I noticed there. The Bible says, why? It said, because he had an extraordinary spirit. A lot of us think it is because he knew how to pray, hallelujah, until the Holy Spirit begins to manifest to him. That's what we think. A lot of us think the man will speak in tongues until the heavens will open. No. The Bible says, why was he distinguished? He said, because he had an extraordinary spirit. Extraordinary spirit simply means what was disturbing other people was not his problem. That's what it means. Some came to government and said, this is our time to make it. Daniel was appointed and that was not his issue. So what am I doing to Christians? I want them to get a different spirit. Are you getting my point? So that when a man gets an open door, he doesn't quickly think that, my time to buy my own car, iPad, iHouse, you know, iMotor car. No, that is not it. He says, it's my opportunity to establish righteousness and demonstrate the character of God. That's what's called an extraordinary spirit. It is not something that comes by the laying on of hands. The truth is that what made Daniel outstanding is simply that extraordinary spirit, which simply meant what others were chasing was not what he was chasing. That's all it means. It means that when he becomes a minister, which is what he was, all right, in that their big kingdom, pride was not his issue. He did not expect that when he comes home, the whole village must gather and be dancing at Ilogu dance around him because he has come. That's simply what it means to have an extraordinary spirit. What is pursuing you? What are you pursuing? Do you understand my point? What are you running after? What is running after you? That's all it means. What am I saying? When we have, if we have that spirit, the spirit, that's what the spirit of Christ says, that's part of what it means. That's not the only thing that one means, but that's part of it. So I want to use that regard. When you have the spirit of Christ, let me use another expression, the spirit of assignment, the spirit of purpose, as a young man, as a young woman, if you have that in the season of youth, you will discover the will of God automatically. It's not about method. It is about the kind of spirit. So when we're talking about not being conformed to the world, what we find out is simple. The world says, this is your season, quickly make it. I mean, you see used coppers stealing government money. Listen, if you are stealing government money as a used copper, you can never prosper in life. Unless you really run into repentance. Why? They say life is tough. If life is tough, the Bible says righteousness delivers from death. Righteousness is tougher than life. Are you getting my point? So that if life is tough, you handle it with the toughest power available. You can never use the power of iniquity to handle life that is tough.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.